The Old Testament lesson is from Ezekiel, the 37th chapter. The hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out in the spirit of the Lord, and set me down in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. And he led me around them, and behold, there were very many on the surface of the valley, and behold, they were very dry. And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, you know. Then he said to me, Prophesy over these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, Behold, I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will cause flesh to come upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you. And you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and I prophesied, and there was a sound. And behold, a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to its bone. And I looked, and behold, there were sinews on them, and flesh had come upon them, and skin had covered them. But there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, Prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, Thus says the Lord God, Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood on their feet, an exceedingly great army. Then he said to me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, Our bones are dried up, and our hope is lost. We are clean cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, Thus says the Lord God, Behold, I will open up your graves and raise you from your graves, O my people, and I will bring you into the land of Israel. And you shall know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and raise you from your graves, O my people. Then I will put my spirit within you, and you shall live. And I will place you in your own land. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. I have spoken, and I will do it, declares the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle lesson is from Paul's letter to the Romans, the 8th chapter. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do. By sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh, in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. To set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if in fact the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. But if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel is according to St. John, the 11th chapter. Now a certain man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. It was Mary who anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was ill. So the sisters sent to him, saying, Lord, he whom you love is ill. But when Jesus heard it, he said, This illness does not lead to death. It is for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. And after this, he said to his disciples, Let us go to Judea again. The disciples said to him, Rabbi, the Jews were just now seeking to stone you, and you are going there again? Jesus answered, Are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble, because he sees the light of the world. But if anyone walks in the night, he stumbles because the light is not in him. After saying these things, he said to them, Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I go to awaken him. The disciples said to him, Lord, if he has fallen asleep, he will recover. Now Jesus had spoken of his death, but they thought that he meant taking rest and sleep. Jesus told them plainly, Lazarus has died, and for your sake I am glad that I was not there, so that you may believe. Then let us go to him. So Thomas, called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, Let us also go, that we may die with him. Now when Jesus came, he found Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles off. And many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them concerning their brother. So when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him. But Mary remained seated in the house. Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you. He said to her, Your brother will rise again. Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? She said to him, Yes, Lord. I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world. And when she had said this, she went and called her sister Mary, saying in private, The teacher is here and is crawling for you. And when she heard it, she rose quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet come into the village, but was in the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who were with her in the house consoling her saw Mary rise quickly and go out, they followed her, supposing that she was going to the tomb to weep there. Now when Mary came to where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet, saying to him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who were also with her weeping, he was deeply moved in his spirit and greatly troubled. And he said, Where have you laid him? They said to him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. So the Jews said, See how he loved him? But some of them said, Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man also have kept this man from dying? Then Jesus, deeply moved again, came to the tomb. It was a cave and a stone laid against it. Jesus said, Take away the stone. Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, Lord, by this time there will be an odor, for he has been dead 4 days. Jesus said to her, Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? So they took away the stone. Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this on account of the people standing around, that they may believe that you have sent me. When he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. The man who had died came out, his hands and feet bound with linen strips, and his face wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said to them, Unbind him and let him go. Many of the Jews, therefore, who had come with Mary and had seen what he did, believed in him. This is the gospel of the Lord. Well, tonight we get to hear from Mary and Joseph. Not Joseph of the Christmas story, but Joseph of Arimathea. The first lesson I'm going to read is from John chapter 9, verses 23 to 27. Then the soldiers who had crucified Jesus took his garments and made 4 parts, to each soldier a part, and also the tunic. Now the tunic was without seam, woven from the top in 1 piece. They therefore said amongst themselves, Let us not tear it, but cast lots for it, whose it shall be, that the scripture might be fulfilled, which says, They divided my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. Therefore the soldiers did these things. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing by, he said to his mother, Woman, behold your son. Then she said to the disciple, Behold your mother. And from that hour that disciple took her to his own home. So now we'll hear from Mary.
Do you know what it's like to lose a child? Perhaps some of you do. It is a worse fate than being diagnosed with a terminal illness. It is made even worse when you know the things I know, and you experience what I experienced regarding my son Jesus, whom you call Christ. It all began over 30 years ago with one of the stories of the Bible that you listen to each Christmas. But I wonder if you really hear what is happening. I wonder if you really understand the impact it had. I discovered that my cousin Elizabeth was going to have a child in her old age. This in itself was remarkable. But then, before I went to visit her on this occasion, I myself was visited by an angel of Almighty God. The divine tale he told was that I would bear a son who would have no earthly father, and that he would be the long-awaited Messiah, whom the prophets of the Old Testament predicted would come someday. This was quite a shock, but imagine the honor to be told that I had found favor with God Almighty. Then this tale became a bit strange. It was clear that Jesus was no ordinary child. He knew things children shouldn't know until they are adults. And with this knowledge, he taught adults as if they were children. And then, as an adult himself, he began to do many strange and wonderful signs. But none of them seemed to be in line with what the chief priests always said would have been the true Messiah. One time, I even went with some of our family to try to bring him back home. He thought he was surely out of his mind. The crowd certainly didn't accept his message. And they ultimately turned against him, as I had feared. Well, you know how it ended. He was killed horribly. I was there to watch it, and it almost killed me to see him suffer that way. But you also know that he rose from the dead, in accordance with God's will. I know it too. Now understand, it was my son. My son who died for you. It was the hardest thing in my life to go through. But I now understand his sacrifice, at least. It was his sacrifice for you.
Thank you, Shelley. The second lesson is from Luke chapter 23, verses 46 to 56. And when Jesus had cried out with a loud voice, he said, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." And having said this, he breathed his last. So when the centurion saw what had happened, he glorified God, saying, "Certainly this was a righteous man." And the whole crowd who came together to that sight, seeing what had been done, beat their breasts and returned home. But all of his acquaintances and all the women who followed him from Galilee stood at a distance watching. Now behold, there was a man named Joseph, a council member, a good and just man. He had not consented to their decision, indeed. He was from Arimathea, a city of the Jews, who himself was also waiting for the kingdom of God. When this man went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus, then he took it down, wrapped it in linen, and laid it in a tomb that was hewn out of the rock, where no one had ever laid before. That was the day of preparation, and the Sabbath drew near. And the women who had come with him from Galilee followed after, and they observed the tomb and how the body was laid. When they returned and prepared spices and fragrant oils, and they rested on the Sabbath according to the commandment. So now we'll hear from Joseph of Arimathea.
I'd like to see if this was a member of the ruling council. In the end, I too was responsible for Jesus' death by my association with him. But I never agreed with what they did, either publicly or privately. It was very difficult to try to make them understand, though. The mob mentality is a tough thing to overcome, and Cephas and most of the priests and the Pharisees convinced that Jesus should die. Most, but not all. I was not convinced, because I saw in Jesus that he was indeed the long-awaited Messiah that the scriptures told about. I argued against him in the council, but it was in vain. Mine was a minority voice, and it fell on deaf ears. I guess I should be clear. I'm not telling you this to try to make myself look better than I am. I have my faults, too. As my reasons for explaining my disagreement led up to my role in this whole affair. Looking back, I can now see things happening. Those days, those 3 days, the way God wanted them to happen. At that time, however, all I could see was that Jesus had been killed, and that I had not wanted it that way. I struggled to make sense of it. It just didn't seem possible. I was sure that Jesus was the Messiah, and of course he was, but his death didn't make sense to me. I was waiting for the promised kingdom of God, but I didn't realize that the enemy of that kingdom was sin, death, and the devil, not the Romans as I had thought. As I struggled to come to terms with the events of that Friday, I finally realized that there was one thing I could do. I could at least give Jesus a dignified burial by placing him in my own tomb. It was purchased so that I would have a place to be buried. But it seemed the thing to do, giving my own burial site for Jesus. Again, I tell you these things, not to go alone more, in fact, just the opposite. It is true. I was one of the few truly selfless things that I think I ever did. Of course, now, I know, like you, the end of the story. The women went back to the tomb following the Sabbath. We were not allowed to prepare the body for a burial on the Sabbath. And they discovered that Jesus had risen from the dead. I also realized the end results for us. Jesus taught us what true selflessness is. He gave up his life for us, that we may not die, but live. I stumbled blindly through life, doing what was truly right, mostly by accident. Jesus, however, forgives us so that we might forgive others. In the end, Jesus serves us through his sacrifice so we might then serve others.
So what's some similarities between the two, Joseph of Arimathea and Mary? They both believed in Jesus, all right? There was something else that really struck me. All right, what do we know about Joseph of Arimathea? He was a member of the Sanhedrin, the ruling council, but yet believed in Jesus. He kept it secret, all right? But he had argued against Jesus' crucifixion. What would that have cost him? That would have cost him his job, his status in the community, certainly within Judaism itself, because we don't know, because the Bible doesn't say. But it would not be unreasonable to think he was removed from the Sanhedrin. You don't upset Caiaphas, the high priest. Just from what we know of him in Scripture, I can't see upsetting Caiaphas and going against him and expecting to keep your position on the council. Now, what else do we know about him after Jesus died? Now picture this. Pilate had just ordered the execution of Christ. The Jews are all upset. And yet, Joseph of Arimathea goes to Pilate and asks for the body, showing Jesus a great deal of honor and respect. Again, I don't think Caiaphas would have appreciated this much, but that took a lot of courage on his part. Because I don't think he understood, like the way you read it, Larry, what you were reading, that he actually understood that he wasn't coming to throw the Romans on. All right? I don't think he really understood who Jesus was and what Jesus was about until after Easter. All right? He could have said, he's dead. I guess I followed the wrong one. It took a lot of courage. Now, let's look at Mary. Yeah, she believed, although she had a moment of doubt, and you read that part, where
And it says that Jesus' brothers and sisters came for him because they thought he was out of his mind. That's the story where they lowered the man through the roof. The house, it was so busy and so crowded that Jesus didn't have time to eat, and his family thought he was out of his mind. So Mary didn't always understand it either. All right? Mary was not perfect in that sense, okay? She blew it at that point. She doubted who he was. All right? Mary goes to the crucifixion. What was she risking? Now think about it. You got a whole bunch of Jewish religious leaders who are cheering and taunting Christ on the cross. And then his mother shows up, the family member. Very well could. You have no idea, or the crowd would turn ugly against her. You know, there's something said for John. All the other disciples had fled. John, he's right there. He's so close to Christ that Jesus actually can see him and speaks to him directly. You know, so John is definitely risking what you're talking about. Mary, just by association, could have. All right? I cannot imagine that. You know, and she knew when Jesus was 8 days old, when Simon said, "A sword will pierce your own soul, Mary." She knew right from that point forward that something bad was going to happen. Maybe she didn't understand it all, but she understood this wasn't going to end well. All right, I cannot imagine waiting 33 years or so for your child to die knowing it's coming. You know, first of all, I can't imagine burying your own child. That is just... That's too much to handle for most people. But Mary, I would say courage for both Joseph of Arimathea and Mary. They both showed an awful lot of courage proclaiming who Christ was by their actions. Now, are we as bold in our witness about Christ? Sometimes we are, and sometimes we're not so bold. All right? But at least we got two really good examples of what it means for that bold witness for Christ. They put the consequences aside and said they're still going to witness to who he is, even though they didn't understand everything about Jesus. Can you answer everybody's questions about Jesus? No. You just can't. All right? But yet we're still called to be bold in our witness. So may the peace of God, which is above all our human understanding, keep our hearts and minds focused on Jesus Christ until life everlasting. Amen.